Hello and welcome to episode 77 of Championing Gamer. I'm joined by the wonderful Holly, otherwise known as Holster TV. How are you?
What's going on? I'm awesome. Thank you, man. Always living the dream. Hope you're
What is your
well.
dream? Tell us what your dream is. What do you do? Who are you, etc.?
Okay, so yeah, of course. I am predominantly a horror streamer, so it began with my love of Resident Evil. So that's where my channel originated. I started out on YouTube almost 10 years ago, so we are hitting the decade mark next year, which is incredible. So yeah, I wanted to literally be a YouTuber since I was like a teenager, and it just never came to light until around my early 20s, because me and my friends, we never like had the means to do so. Even if we kind of clubbed together, we just wouldn't have been able to just get the setup, like with a proper camera, the PC and everything, just to get ourselves online. So yeah, it is a dream that's always kind of stuck with me. I've just always had that love of gaming, since I was a kid. I'm sure you can also relate. And yeah, so once I was kind of in my early 20s, it just I thought, right, I can crack on with this now, because I'd kind of taken care of other stuff. I was basically all about my fitness, and while I was at that age, I wanted to grind away for a soccer scholarship, so I went over to America, did that, and then yeah, came back, and as soon I was actually dying to come back, because I just watched more and more YouTubers and became so inspired more than ever. And I thought, right, I want to create content, I want to stream, So returned home and got straight back on it, And it's expanded since then.
So obviously, I know you just found out you're a footy fan, I'm imagining.
Yeah.
Of who?
Liverpool and
Sorry.
the mighty Grimsby Town, my
That's
hometown.
amazing. So you've managed to get Man United in two different ways there, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So I'm a Newcastle fan, so I'm just trying to get a bit more
Nice.
relaxed. No, it's good to know. So how long was you in America for?
So I was in there for just over 2 years.
I'm surprised you didn't come. I'm surprised you came back, first of all, but glad you did.
Yeah.
Why was it that you chose to go, you know what, I can become a streamer now? You say it's been nearly 10 years, right? Have you got plans for 10 years coming up to celebrate in some way? But why was it streaming that you really wanted to go after?
So yeah, next year, of course, it is sometime in July, our 10-year anniversary on YouTube. So we absolutely will be doing a 24-hour stream. So yeah, I've still got plans, in the pipeline, coming up with a proper schedule, things we can do, to fully celebrate it. I'll see if we can do some other things alongside, but we'll most certainly be doing a full 24-hour stream. It's that'll be the largest length stream I've done. So I usually do like 12 hours for special occasions and things, kind of my birthday, Halloween, New Year, etc. So yeah, we'll be on that for sure. But yeah, I just wanted to be on screen like other people, like the YouTubers, like I watched back then, and I just thought, when you look at things, you're like, well, if they can do it, you've got to think about yourself, right? Like, I can do it,
I feel like a kindred spirits a little bit, because I'm going to ask you about that YouTube stuff.
Yeah.
We can get to spotlight later, but who are you watching back then? Are we talking the Theo Bakers and the Zerkers and those sort of guys, or who was you watching back then?
So back then, it's a guy, the very first one I saw, I'm sure you may have seen from my content, my favourite video game of all time is the original Resident Evil 2. And so I don't know what made me search it up, like on YouTube. I thought, oh yeah, there'll be maybe official game trailers, whatever. Like, I was new to YouTube when I was a teenager, and I kind of thought, well, all right, we'll search it up. And I found gameplays with commentary to this guy. I've never, even to this day, never actually physically seen him on a stream, because he does commentary. But he's called Vash12349, and he still makes content and streams to this day, Resident Evil and Variety as well now. And yeah, I actually couldn't believe it was a thing, and I was like, well, I want to be on the screen as well. I want to play Resident Evil on the screen, and I thought it would be perfect for me to do. So yeah, like obviously once I was finished in the States, I knew that I'd be coming back home, and I was like, man, we need to grind like and get a setup soon as, and I just want to get online, So I started out by doing like 20-minute playthroughs of you know, at a time, 20-minute like episodes of like Resident Evil playthroughs. I played a little bit of variety, like Bully Scholarship Edition, like a YouTuber simulator, just to kind of try and find my feet and find where I was most comfortable. But I've always diverted straight back to horror. It's like just where I feel the most comfortable, you know. And then I remember trying to stream back then. So it's 2016, obviously almost 10 years ago. And I remember like hitting live on YouTube, and I was so damn excited. And yeah, I was just literally a stuttering pixels on screen, like hi guys, you know. And I was like devastated. Like I reached out to you know, some of my mates. I was like, why ain't it working? They was like, dude, your PC and your internet, it's just not cutting it for streaming. And so yeah, obviously at the time I lived at home with my mum, so it just wasn't an option. So I had to stay offline all that time. So it does make me a little gutted deep down, that it's like a bit of like missed potential. But it's kind of one of those things, you got to work with what you have. And I've needed a lot of patience to be able to stream, you know. I've moved into my own house about 4 years-ish ago. And then it's only since I've been here, obviously, I was like, right, we're getting the setup, we're getting the internet, and then we're getting it rolling. So, you know, obviously, if I had my way, I would have been online for, you know, since I was like a teenager, playing video games. But unfortunately, it's just taken that bit longer, especially to stream, you know.
But there's so much there. So you started nearly 10 years ago, but that
Yeah.
means you started pre-COVID. A lot of people we talk to or
Yeah,
online just
absolutely.
started in COVID because that's naturally where we all did it. And so to have that journey from before then, have you seen streaming and like online content change since you started to now? Because there must be a big like overhaul in how it works, right? Because it's more saturated now and et cetera. What have you seen that's slightly different from when you started to now?
I just think the more, I mean, I'm bringing into all the platforms, obviously. You've seen the growth of the platforms, and I think just more use of kind of enhancing thumbnails, clickbait titles, and even with short form content, obviously that's phased in. And it definitely more with kind of the clickbait, the hooks to kind of drive that engagement. Whereas I think back then it was a bit more raw, and it was just kind of, you know, pick up the camera, go, that's that. But I think now, like, it's just a bit more hook driven to really draw in and everything. But yeah, definitely become more saturated. But you know what? Like, I do welcome it for people, because it's like, you know, I never see other people as a competition. I always think, I mean, I always say kind of I'm my own competition. Like, I want to be better than my last stream than I was a month ago, last year, etc. So I welcome it, because, like, you know, why can't people get themselves on screen or achieve their dreams, you know? So definitely welcome that. You know, but yeah, during COVID, honestly, you know, it drives the grind even more for me now, because I feel like I'm making up for so much lost time. So obviously at the time when COVID happened, I was actually working in the ambulance service, and so couldn't stay at home. Obviously still couldn't stream at that time. So I was actually I made some vlogs, just kind of isolation vlogs, because it did eventually hit the house. So at the time, there was the restriction of staying in for like up to 14 days. So I basically did vlogs. And then throughout that, I just kind of went through my retro gaming collection, showcasing that. So they were the videos I was doing at the time, maybe a bit of playthroughs as well. But yeah, you know, I always look back at COVID and think, again, huge missed opportunity. I feel like, you know, content could have skyrocketed more, but I had a full-time job in the ambulance service, and we was on the front line working with COVID, dealing with that, you know?
So were you there doing keeping up each with toilet rolls or not?
Yeah, whenever I wasn't on shift, yeah.
Because I was going to ask about the whole, because the flipping of like, it's saturated now, yes. But from your point of view as a fully fledged content creator, making a
Yeah.
living out of it, like I had this conversation with Scott Telford about there's so many creators now and everyone's online. Everyone's doing it. It's
Sure.
part and parcel of day-to-day life. And back then, back in the olden days, when you had like four YouTube videos to watch, it
Yeah.
was, dare I say, easier in the sense of it was less about, but simultaneously harder because obviously it's harder to make content generally. Whereas now it's a flip of that. It's easier to make content, harder to stand out. Have we gone
So true.
far enough along the curve now where there's so many people out there that it doesn't matter about going viral? It's about your community and about what you build on your own individual basis. Is that kind of fair? Do you see that?
Yeah, like, for me, I always say I want to be the biggest I can possibly be. And that is, like you say, I would love to see huge numbers as a creator. I would love to do, that's what it's about, every stream, every video, drawing more audience in, like-minded people. And, we have established a community, very lucky with that. And yeah, it's about building on that, absolutely building on that, and even inspiring more people. Because what's so wholesome about it as well, especially with streaming, that's definitely taken the channel next level since I've literally been able to go live, apart from commenting, to comments on videos and things, like actually interacting with live viewers. It's been really awesome. And yeah, there's been so many people who say, we've inspired them, to go live. Whether it is just commentary or they've been able to get themselves on screen, they said, "Oh, I've got the confidence because I've seen you do it, other people, and even like I think it's really cool to even connect on a personal level as well. There's some people, that they may say, "I've been going through a tough time, like, and your streams have really helped. They've been a chill, comforting space. They've provided a laugh when I've needed them," or just in general, when people have literally been on shift at work, come back, kick back, chill in the evening. They know a stream's on, they can chill with us, and they look forward to it. Or even in the mornings, getting people through the shift, So it's really cool to be there for people.
So twofold about that. First one is, do you sort of appreciate the hard work it takes now you've done it? Obviously, you said it's taken this long to sort of get where you want it to be, really.
Yeah.
But at the same token, you've got that far because of how hard you've worked, right? Do people understand how hard it is?
I think it depends. Like, some people appreciate, that there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes, but I think yeah, I think maybe there may be a portion of people out there who maybe don't realize just how hard it is. It is more than just, say hit record, play a game, do a few choppy edits, get that on, or obviously to hit live and play a game. That there's a lot more that goes on behind the scenes,
Because it's two jobs, isn't it? It's you're on camera at one point, or you're filming at one point,
Of
but you're
course.
planning, you're prepping, you're making a sale, whatever it is, you're doing stuff outside of it to sort of make it work. I don't think people really grasp that sometimes. They see likes yourself being outlandish and loving whatever. It works, but you've got the energy because you put the work in, and people don't really understand that. Do you feel like you've always been that type though that can really take that bull by the horns and do it? Because you seem very lovely and very chattable. But is it a natural thing for you to do that?
What do you mean by that? A natural thing to.
So, I guess in my weird way of saying it is, people can press live and they can go live.
Yeah, sure.
And like we just alluded to a minute ago, they don't always grasp how hard it's actually going to be to maintain it. But you've got the energy, the passion, the drive, whatever, and you're obviously brilliant on camera. But
Yeah.
did that bit come natural to you? Are you
Yeah,
naturally in front of the camera?
absolutely. Yeah, I think just because I wanted it that much, it's even, I remember starting from zero on YouTube. Well, I got the first 50 odd pretty easy because they were my mates, make sure you follow me. So I got my first 50, 100 easy. But yeah, I kind of envisioned kind of where I wanted to be, and I still do want to grow. And I kind of knew how hard, you would have to work, because there's a whole world out there online. So at the end of the day, your unique selling point, it is you, isn't it, right? Obviously, you can stream the games, but of course people do return and have that, attachment to your channel for you as well. So yeah, I knew to I just needed to keep grinding away with it. Obviously, it was one thing getting the setup, and at least making videos, and then obviously the next thing it's like, man, I want to stream, and it's like, well, you just got to keep focused towards the end goal. You will get it eventually. You just need to keep focused with it. So it was just a case of obviously saving for a setup, the decent enough internet, which I achieved obviously by having my own place.
And this has taken you now to certain events. Where have you been recently?
Yeah, absolutely. For the first time, I've traveled within gaming events within the UK, but my first time traveling internationally, yeah, to Gamescom over in Cologne in Germany, which was incredible.
How was all that?
Yeah, it was really awesome. I literally had a moment when I was about to, when the plane was about to take off, I generally just sat back and I thought, man, like, we're literally going to a different country. Like, this is where my channel has taken me, you know? I never attended as a creator because I didn't meet the requirements. They are super high, but it's fine. I was more than happy, getting, kind of general sale for a couple of days to go and experience that. And then obviously I took as much content as possible, kind of vlogged it, so that there are vlogs up on my YouTube and TikTok, short form content, and what's really cool, you can actually bring that to people as well. There's people within the community on my streams. I was like, oh, please let us know how it goes, and can you film things from your perspective? So yeah, people can live that through you, if they're unable.
We'll get into that more later. I've got some questions on that, but
Yeah.
just really quickly before going on to the next bit, you stream regular, we
Yep.
love it. But has that affected how you game? Like, what are you gaming data? Do you stream? Sorry, do you game off stream? Do you play games off stream, or have you sort of just made it a case of I'm going to play on stream now?
Yeah, I actually don't know. I literally I think the last game I played on my own for a little, it was back when Astrobot was released, really, because I kind of thought, I don't know if this would fit in on stream. I'm not sure. But to be honest, now I'm actually not too afraid to dip into variety anyway, because because people still like to see it, to be honest. And I think I'm incredibly fortunate. My audience are quite flexible with that, so people do still turn up and want to see the content. But yeah, it's definitely to change things. So I kind of think, I don't know, like when I game offline now, I'm kind of like, I should just be with an audience right now, like. And the main thing is obviously hanging out with people, interacting, but also, it's yet another opportunity, when I hit live to reach out to more people, impact more people in a positive way, and expand our audience, basically.
Well, because I've said, like, people have said to me about streaming, I said, I would love to. One is a time problem, which is an issue,
Yeah,
obviously, but
sure.
also I fear that if I did stream, it would take away from my experience of some of the games. When in actuality, people should be saying, well, actually, no, if you did it with people, it'd be better because you're, like you said there, experience, you're playing with others and you're always doing it as part of a group. And you said about, are you going to get variety, or whatever. It goes back to what you said a minute ago. Because of you and who you are, they come back for you. You've got
Yeah.
fans of you, not necessarily the game. So,
Yeah.
that's all good. Now, speaking of you've got made for podcast energy because you put a thing out yesterday. I want to say we do hot takes and sort of debates. So we do hot takes,
Oh, yeah, sure.
any game related stuff. And you put out a post on your story about 2 days ago, or about a new video. You're a big Resi fan, so lead us with that one. What was your most recent hot take about Resi?
Yeah, it's something that's it's always been in the back of my mind when it comes to remakes. So obviously there's always that kind of controversial, what's better, the originals, the remakes? Me personally, I'm a massive fan of the originals. I'm more of an old school Resi gamer. However, I can still appreciate the remakes. But what really got me, I think my most devastating moment, I think, in Resident Evil history was I was so hyped when I knew Resident Evil 2 Remake was coming. However, when that trailer dropped, I was kind of both amazed, but my heart sank at the same time. I was like, it doesn't look like Resident Evil 1 Remake though. Like, why is it not in this style? And then obviously Resident Evil 3 followed suit, more action-based than ever as well. But I thought, yeah, I do believe Resident Evil 2 and 3 remakes should have been in the style of RE1 remake,
I love it because I think you can do remakes well and you can
Yeah,
do them
sure.
badly. The first Resi remake, and I will admit I've played Resi 1 to 3, not enough, but I've played
Yeah.
it. But the Resident Evil 1 remake on GameCube is amazing. It is one of
Yeah.
the best remakes of all time. And the fact it wasn't the same as that, your post just resonated with me. I had to bring it
Yeah.
up. Do
Yeah,
you feel
sure.
like more games need to do that? Because obviously, whereas it's still a remake and they've upscaled it a little bit, but you're still appealing to the older fans more. Do too many games try and veer off of that originality thing and going to more of a new thing?
I definitely believe from RE2 Remake onwards, in a way, I think it has kind of set the tone. Like the RE engine, it does work well. But I do feel that they've appealed to the masses more, because I'm not being funny. Like, if you look at the sales that from when I last looked, the sales are way more than RE1 Remake. You can see it's appealed more to the masses. And I don't know if the problem me. Like, am I too stuck in the retro nostalgia days, like obviously clinging to my fixed camera angles, like, keep them, am I dragging them back from the 90s? Should they stay there, because there's so many people who believe they're outdated. However, I know it's another topic, but indie horror games are thriving right now. They have been for several years, and so many have retained, that they know that hardcore, Resident Evil and horror fans appreciate those fixed camera angles, the inventory system, the save boxes, the save room things. They've really, RE, it is kind of the core of like inspiration, really, for most horror games nowadays, right? But yeah, we're still seeing that being retained though in indie horror, which is amazing. But yeah, I do feel that the general kind of impression now of Resident Evil players, I think they definitely prefer the over the shoulder third person rather than a Resident Evil 1 remake style,
And before I go back to Resi, is there like a, because you said about tank controls, I'm thinking of like Onimusha and stuff like that. But I get aggy about that because I'm like, it's part of the game. It's part of the appeal. Because you think of, I think about like platformers. Like I played like Celeste last year, stuff like that. It's like these things are still cool. You can still make an audience for them. You haven't got to take away part of the USP of it. Just keep it. I think it works. If people don't like Kadel, I love Kadelka. Play Kadelka. It works because of the tank controls and because of the battle system and imagery system. They all work because that's what they're made for. You haven't got
Yeah, I
to change
think
those.
it's definitely part of the charm of it, I think. And it's interesting you said that actually about tank controls, especially because obviously the release of RE2 and 3, the originals, has come to obviously the PlayStation Classics catalogue. I streamed those on launch, and there were so many people coming in. Do you have to use tank controls? And I was obviously lifting the control. I was showing on screen. You can analog if you want. You can, and same actually. Again, unrelated game, Tomb Raider. I'm a big fan of Tomb Raider. Obviously, once the remastered trilogies came along, again, so many people. It's not those awful tank controls, is it? Well, I was like, well, I'm using them, but you can. There is a modern control scheme, and some people were questioning. There was like, you're still using tank controls? I was like, it's the way I was raised, though.
I'd love to know. I'd love to know because another example I have is like graphics. So like, if you there's more games these have a system whereby they come out if it's like a remake or whatever it is, and they have the option play the old style. I think of Command and Conquer's the first one I can think of, where you push a button and it makes it the old graphics. So you can flip between the one or the other. So I can play it my way, you can play it yours, and it appeals to multiple audiences then.
That's it, everyone's a winner kind of thing. It's good to have that option. Same in Tomb Raider as well, you've got that nice kind of polished, kind of version to make it a bit more visually appealing today. However, you can transport yourself straight back to the 90s, early 2000s, So it is good. If there is the option there, it's like you say, everyone's a winner then, Same with what's happening with Resident Evil Requiem, that's releasing next year. There's the option for first and third person, and I think, to be honest, they probably had to do that because I think there's such a clash on that at the moment between those views,
Well, have you played much of the later ones, the first person?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, played RE7 Biohazard and Village. Yeah,
And your thoughts are.
I do love the first person. I do find it very immersive. I don't know what would be my preference if I'm honest, because they did obviously they added third person to Village, and I've played a little of it in third person, and it works. It does still work. I just feel you can connect to the character in both ways, I think. I think first person makes it immersive, especially if you're being chased. You kind of It's kind of like you're right there. Then again, if you're over the shoulder, it's still like you're right with them. I think they both have the good bad points, but I do appreciate both, to be honest. I wouldn't really be able to choose between them if I'm honest with you.
And then on the whole Resi thing, just give me a really quick overview. Movies, yes or no?
Yeah, it's overall a hard no, but I do like to watch them now and again just to be able to see them on screen. I think the very first Resident Evil movie Not too bad. I do remember actually renting it on VHS from the library with my mum because she's a horror fan as well. Loves Resident Evil. She appreciates all the movies. She absolutely idolizes Milla Jovovich in those. But obviously, my mum, she isn't a gamer, so she doesn't have that saltiness that it's not dedicated to the lore. But she loves it because it's zombies, zombies, zombies. But yeah, I do remember we rented the very first one. It's not a bad watch to go back to. I do quite like it. The outbreak, obviously, the hive, that underground, setting. However, I did actually really love Welcome to Raccoon City because I just loved the. Obviously, I know it had its drawbacks. It very cheesy. I think some characters were done a little dirty. They didn't capture kind of their personality, what they're all about. But I did love the settings though, the Spencer Mansion, the RPD, and even the diner and the Stars Room, for example, the jails, you know?
I love this so much because I've said I've said so much. I love that film. It's rubbish, but love it because it's rubbish. It's got all the horror tropes for a Resi film, particularly. The characters aren't well fleshed out. It's rushed. There's poor set pieces. It's brilliant. It's popcorn. Watch it. It just fits what it should have been. That's what I think it should have been. Because I've said this before. You might completely disagree here, but I love the as a one-off watch, I guess, the Lance Reddick show on Netflix. It's slow, it's potentially boring. It was going somewhere, they cancelled it. But it was different. It was a different take. They had a completely different take on Wesker that we'd never seen before. And it was interesting. And bless him, he's passed, obviously, whatever. And they've cancelled it anyway. But I thought it's just something a little bit different. Resi's been the same for 25 years. Give me something different. You know? Okay, let's move on then. So we do coaches questions. This is one of my favourite parts. So if you're unaware, I do questions on my page, game questions, and I get to ask a few of them at random on the podcast here. So we're going to go into the first one, which is, have you ever gone through a tough time and a game's gotten you through it?
Yeah, I'd definitely say through school times, it literally kind of it's definitely pulled me through as like a teenager because I remember basically I had to move to a another high school. So started year seven at a normal high school and like I my mum had actually sat me for 11 plus tests for grammar schools. And I'd basically I was just short on them, but well actually I'd passed for one of them. But there was a waiting list. So basically, once I was in year eight, basically when I was at my school, I got disturbed because there was like, oh, we got a place now at this grammar school. I was like, right, fine. I didn't want to move. I was happy where I was, and I went there, and it was not a great entrance. I went to a grammar school looking real just untidy. I had spiky hair, I had a Sex Pistols backpack. Everyone was just like, who are you? Like, and whatever. And no one wanted anything to do with me, kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? It took several years to actually find my gaming friends there. And yeah, so it's just school bullying. Just I know everyone kind of, pretty much, unfortunately, everyone has some kind of encounter with it. But yeah, and it was just a real unpleasant time, so it took a toll on me just because I hated going, I hated it, and the only thing I focused on was gaming. I just came back and I would just come back and play classic Resident Evil and whatever was on my PS2 at the time, PS2, then PS3.
What sort of other things were there? You said about Resi. What other things were there?
Oh, so it'd be ones like I actually loved Bully Scholarship Edition as well. I loved Bully because I really related to Jimmy hating school and all that. There'd be loads on it. Obviously, I found the Call of Duty series. Just anything. There was so much. Obviously, Silent Hill, Dino Crisis. There was so much. I'm trying to think exactly what else I'd play, but they were the main ones, mainly just horror to get sucked into. Because I felt like obviously it just transports you into another world,
Have you got so do you play online a lot with people or not?
I'm mainly I do solo campaign experiences, really, single player games,
Just because
mainly.
my next question is because I put out one the other day because it just comes to me randomly. But is there a random video game memory you've got that just makes you smile every now and then?
Oh yeah, definitely be when my dad introduced me to the Resident Evil series. So he bought them on launch. I do remember. I think the first one I did play. I do think it was Resi 2. That was the one I do kind of my earliest memory of playing. So yeah, it was definitely watching him play, and then yeah, you know, it luckily, yeah, my parents, they weren't super strict on kind of age rating, as long as I was kind of supervised a little, you know. So yeah, he basically passed the controller to me. It was like, it's your turn now. And yeah, I just got into it, just real, you know, just real easily. Classic Resi after watching him, and then he kind of talked me through, and then I was off from there, you know.
What about random video moments? My brain went to, this is why I asked the question, my brain went to, just off the cuff, my brain went Halo, and it went playing on a random Saturday. We played doubles tournaments, and me hitting my friend in the face with a sticky, and his whole screen went blue before he died. And I can't stop laughing about that. So that stuck with me. Anything like that stuck with you?
I think probably when me and my best mates had like gaming nights, I think, to unwind on the weekends, through GCSEs and then A levels. That's why I didn't do very well, because I loved gaming. Yeah, it'd be kind of just pizza and Monster with lots of Call of Duty Zombies. It was, we was obsessed, you know, just full all-nighters with those. So it'd
Yeah.
definitely just be those, because we just lived for those weekends.
There's so much of that that people miss. Because
Yeah.
we've been about like FIFA and PES, like you'd have your own written down league table every Saturday. And
Yeah.
stuff like I think you miss that nowadays. I know people play together, but it's a lot online, isn't it? You don't have those interactions one to one, do you? Or in small groups. That's missing.
Yeah. Like I say, this is why I think it's incredibly important, you know, to have, you know, if you can. It's amazing to, this is the beauty of collecting like retro video games. I do have a collection, and it's awesome. Like, obviously, those mates, I still see them now, my best mates. They do live away, but when they come round, it's like, well, we'll dig out an old console. We do go back to the Xbox 360 days, you know, so we can just do a couch co-op on Zombies, or, you know, PS1, PS2. You know, so it's important to, if you've got the OG hardware, you know, that's the beauty of it. You can kind of set it up. You know, I know we're kind of decades ahead, but you can kind of transport yourselves back there a little bit, you know?
And you can use emulators. There's loads of emulators now. You use
Sure.
them. Grab them. Is there a video game character you hate for no reason?
Oh, that I hate for no reason. The one that comes up really, because he ruins my experience on Resident Evil Code Veronica every time, Steve Burnside. He's so annoying. I said I was sorry. Hi, Claire. You know, you're not gonna get far without me. It's like, oh, Steve, please. Yeah, so he just, honestly, every time I stream this man, whenever he comes on stream, like, my head's in my hands. Like, I just love the game, but he just ruins the vibe. Because, yeah, I just find him annoying.
I love it because there's always one. There's always at least
Yeah,
one.
there's always the one, like you say, you know, if I think of, oh, who's awful in Resident Evil, it's kind of, you know, I know there's Albert Wesker, the villain. It's kind of like, nah, Steve, he's annoying, you know?
Just
There's
while we're
always
on
one.
that, because I've got a question from before, which is the Albert Wesker thing.
Sure.
I had Cy White on, who's a big Resi person herself,
Yeah.
and we were discussing how has Wesker not had a single game yet? An actual Wesker game. Do you think
Imagine.
we need one?
I think that'd be really cool. I think they could probably introduce it maybe as a bit of a spin-off, maybe. Obviously, you know, if you're enough of a Resident Evil fan, you'll know who he is, kind of thing. But I think now we do have quite a few more, obviously, people who are newer to the series, they don't know kind of how it originated still. Some people who've kind of not played the originals, I think there is a portion of the audience who still don't know who Albert Wesker is, or maybe just don't know, obviously, the backstory and the root of his evil, kind of thing. So I think if they brought out a main kind of game, I'm just not sure if it'd appeal to masses, if I'm honest. Well, if they named it Wesker and kind of made him the face, I just don't know if it would. But I do think it definitely would be a strong side title, I think. But I think it would be very interesting to centre it around him, and obviously kind of where it originated from, his journey, obviously his scheming plans throughout, and how it's all escalated.
Because one thing that Res is good at is it's always, I say always, it's been decent at plugging gaps in timelines. So like
Sure.
there's a random year here and there where there's, and they'll put something in there, they'll put a game in there, they'll put Outbreak in there, whatever it is. And so you could just do that with pre-Resi 1 for me. Just give the day, literally do a game that's the days leading up to Resi 1. And I think that
Yeah.
would work really well. Don't make it the rubbish slick back hair version. Make it the actual game version of him. I think it'd be great. I think
Yeah,
we
sure.
need more of that. Is there a game moment that still gives you chills?
Oh, I'd probably say.
There's one you should say regardless, just so we're fully aware. But is there any more you can think of?
I'd still probably say the obvious, the most standout would be the discovering the liquor for the first time in the RPD, because it is my favourite Resident Evil enemy, I think, because I don't know, it's kind of, if you think back to like the hunters on RE1 or something, or the dogs, like, kind of hunters, yeah, the weird, mysterious, claw-like things, but they're still kind of got two arms, two legs, whatever. But I don't know that, like, dogs we've seen, they're evil dogs, but when it comes to a liquor, like, you really, like, even as a kid, like, I remember literally saying, like, what the hell even is that? And even my dad couldn't answer me. I was like, what is that, like, on the floor, like, on the ceiling? And it was just like, he said, oh, it's a liquor. And I'm like, well, and I never got a definitive answer. And, it really does truly make you think, what is that? I think another one, an honourable mention, would go to the original Silent Hill. Just when you boot up the game and then you hear the little like the really high pitched, it's so uncomfortable yet so incredible. I love sitting through it, but at the same time, and to be honest, I feel like I kind of embrace that uncomfortableness. It's like, oh geez, it's real intense. For me, I do, obviously Resident Evil, it is my favorite horror franchise of all time, but I would say the most terrifying game of all time for me is the original Silent Hill 1.
That's interesting. Because that's
Yeah.
interesting actually. Because I thought you were going to say like an Outlast or something like that. But it's interesting you said Silent Hill. If
Yeah.
you play Silent Hill now, it's a little bit like, I don't want to piss fans off, bland. But actually, it's if you played it back then, it was scary as whatever.
Yeah.
So let's flip it a little bit. Last question: has a game ever made you emotional?
I definitely think The Last of Us, heavily emotional game, particularly the second part, just because, you just want the best for characters, when you become attached to them and invested in them for a long amount of time, especially over the course of waiting from Last of Us Part 1 to Part 2, just how it ends, and I think definitely in more recent times, I think definitely Silent Hill 2 remake. I felt I was live on stream as well. I felt kind of tears in my eyes and just a little numb, at the ending of that.
Has
Yeah, I
that
just
come,
think
has that come with age, do you think? The ability to sort of accept that emotion.
I think potentially, I mean, I'm 32 now, and I think maybe once you've kind of had more life experiences and maybe you've been through some hardships, and sometimes it can hit a little deeply if you've maybe lost someone, if it's in the form of grieving or relationship or even just a friend or something. And I feel like maybe you can resonate with that kind of sadness or raw emotion that it brings. So I definitely think maybe it's an age thing. You can, if you can maybe relate to the characters and the experiences a little, can make you kind of reflect back on some of your own experiences, you'd be a bit like, oh,
Just because I was just before I go on to my next part,
Yeah.
how often do you get called Abby?
Oh, a lot. You know what? That is completely unintentional as well, right?
Was it
I
though?
so
Was it at one point?
yeah, it was at one point.
I was going to say, because were you called
Yeah.
Abby first and then made the video about it, or was it vice versa?
Called Abby first, and then it inspired my content because, yeah, obviously, a few years back, obviously, it's when Last of Us Part 1 Remastered released. I think I had the occasional comment on stream, streamed that, of course. Part 2 Remastered released. I thought, yeah, we'll whack on that, we'll stream that. And then all of a sudden, it was coming in Abby, Abby, Abby. And I think, you know what's also been in my favour? I've been in and out of the gym for years. But it's only over this past year I've really grinded with the gym, because I thought, I really want to kind of slot it in the schedule, make me happy, better mentally, physically, overall. It helps keep a clear head, I think, definitely alongside streaming and my part-time work as well. I have a part-time job and part-time stream, basically. So yeah, helps keep a clear head and yeah, maintain fitness and looking and feeling better than I've ever been. So yeah, that's actually worked in my favour because I've had a year of the gym and I've beefed up a little. So I've got a little more gains, so I can be a bit more of a believable Abby. So it's actually worked very well, unintentionally. And then obviously, as the comments on stream started to come in, people was like, "You should cosplay as Abby." And I thought, well, I don't exactly have a cosplay, but I was like, right, on the next stream, I'll wear a Gymshark vest. Fine, I'll wear my gym attire. So I did that, and then it just escalated. Then I was like, we'll make some Abby skits, we'll make some content, and then I just had so much fun doing that.
No, I love it because it shows that you're able to, forgive the phrase, laugh at yourself a little bit. You're able to embrace the comments, embrace the fun of it all. And some people can't do that. And so you should, I think it's amazing that you did it because it made me laugh for a start.
Wicked.
And I just think I absolutely love it. And then going back to the emotion thing to wrap that off a little bit, it was funny because I watched, and you probably haven't seen it, the Devil May Cry anime. I watched that last
Oh, I've
week.
not seen that yet, but yeah.
And no joke, there's one episode. I'm sat there and I've got my stuff here and I'm on my phone and that. I'm sat here watching it and it's in the background. And then, because I'm 35, I think it's kind of changing things now. So I sat there on
Probably.
one of the second to last episodes, maybe. And it's like a really emotional moment where I won't spoil it for people. They essentially take these refugees away and they think they're being saved. And then the person orders the flip of the order and has them killed. I was like, they're helpless. I was stunned for a half hour. I couldn't move. So I think that sort of thing's changing now, where I'm trying to get more stories. I'm trying to get more emotional, connected stories rather than just online shooters or online players. No, bugger. I want to play more stories now and get invested in those.
I think it's good that it's kind of that it's out there now, because like I say, gaming, it has always, and I think now more than ever, cater to everyone now. I think there's more kind of genres or style of game than ever. Like you say, if you want to just go out on, kind of Call of Duty shooting, Fortnite, etc., Rocket League, you can do that. If you want to search, some more story-driven games, like more emotionally, kind of, relatable ones, you can. And you could even, you've got online as a tool to search for them,
I just want to reiterate, it's mental how much it can affect you, because as much as it can make you sad, it can actually elevate you. Just, I mean, really quickly for the listeners, like Penguins fan, the person I've done before, Tomb Raider, going back to Tomb Raider, he loves Tomb Raider because it makes him brave. I just think that sounds amazing to me. Okay, so we're going to Creator Spotlight. So your chance now to shout out the creators you really enjoy, or if you're not comfortable doing it, don't need names per se, but just give us an idea of the type of content you enjoy and why you enjoy it.
So yeah, of course, still shout out to Vash 12349. He's also called Lord Vash as well over on Twitch. Like I say, I never kind of just forget the roots of where it all started. And like you say, what's really wholesome as well, very first creator I ever found, obviously back when I was around a teenager. And I actually messaged him back in 2016 when I was first starting. I said, do you have any advice, man, or whatever? And he said, just get started, just be yourself, grind away, do what you enjoy. And then even now, I literally, we raid each other on Twitch and chat away. So how cool is that? Like, literally become mates through that. So really cool. Because when you first start watching some creators, like, they feel like a million miles away, right? You just watch them on a screen and you're like, oh man, like, I'd love to, like, just comment to them or even become a friend. It'd be so cool. And then it can happen, so yeah, huge shout out to Vash. Also massive inspiration as well with my streaming, even more, which pushed me even more, is Residents of Evil. They are the largest, I believe, Resident Evil channel out there. They're based in the US. It is run by the main guy, JJ. He's really awesome. He does have a team of people behind him, all offering, their different kind of skills with kind of production and content. So yeah, really love Residents of Evil's content and streams. They always bring like the latest news. He's always on it. And streams are always really good, a really, calm vibe. So really love those. It always covers Resident Evil and, latest horror. Also the retro gaming channels as well. There's ones like 2TUK, Kevin Wolford 123, Big Car Booter. Also, Game Boys Are Awesome. He's actually the first Car Booter I found on YouTube. I kind of thought, started, once I started my channel, I thought, man, I want to get some older games to be able to co cover them with videos and content. And I thought, right, I'll go back to the Car Boots, like recollect, get a retro collection going. And then I thought, oh, I'll search it on YouTube. Then I thought, don't be stupid, there's no way. And I was like, oh, wow, there's Car Boot videos on YouTube. There's a guy going around with a GoPro, and I was like, man, I want to do this so bad. So got a GoPro. I got my own episodes going. There was people who did this, obviously, Kieran and Kev, other people. They were the Car Booters I found, still watch them to this day. Just real massive shout out. Obviously, I do love Metal Jesus Rocks, Cinemassacre as well. I really do love Cinemassacre. That originates back to, again, being teenage and finding the Angry Video Game Nerd. Literally grown up with that, and extracted lots of retro gaming knowledge from James, who's the nerd. I do actually love Metal Jesus and Radical Reggie as well. I think they're a great combo.
I'm glad finally someone's mentioned them. You're number
Yeah.
77. I think you're the second person to mention them. I followed Metal Jesus Rocks for about 5 years.
Yeah.
Radical Reggie's just amazing. I think
Oh,
he's
it's such a cool vibe. Like I do love, obviously the several people that are featured on Metal Jesus Rock's channel, but I also watch Reggie's own content on his channel, but I think it also really shines. Some creators when they do kind of do that collab, they're just so good when they do the pickups videos, both Metal Jesus and Reggie. So love both of those when they're together especially.
Yeah, I've been so I've actually emailed him and I want to try and get him involved if I can. But the other one, I
Nice.
don't know if you know, there's Kinsey and there's
Yeah,
Kelsey.
Kinsey, yep.
Because Kelsey runs Pink Gorilla, and I've actually got a Pink Gorilla hat and top. And I'm,
Wicked.
yeah, it'd be nice. So you've actually mentioned a few people there that everyone's different, everyone's got their own vibe. What is it about somebody that would draw you? Like, what would make you watch them? Some personality traits, possibly, or how they present themselves. What is it about somebody that would draw you in?
I think it's definitely originality, like what they can bring, their own kind of twist on things. Like obviously sometimes, that there's lots of people covering retro gaming, horror gaming, etc. But everyone is their unique selling point and brings their own twist to it. So I definitely love kind of positive vibes and humor, and just like the overall vibe of someone and definitely their passion for it. Like if someone's kind of if they're looking kind of uninterested and they're just not, the positive vibes aren't there, it's just kind of, I struggle to kind of relate if you see that they haven't got that connection with their content or, game they're playing, etc. So it definitely comes down to like positive vibes and their passion for it. I think if they're passionate, I relate as well because I'm really passionate about my content and, gaming as a whole,
Well, this is it, because I had the conversation before about, like, people say about being on camera, you don't have to do that if you don't want to. You can,
No.
because you said about Vaz. I've obviously, Chris Smooth's another one. Chris Smooth had like 3 million viewers on YouTube or subscribers on YouTube. Never saw his face, not once. Just because he loves it, he's funny, and it makes it entertaining. That's all it is. So
Yeah, like
you can accomplish that.
yeah. I've said that to people as well before that, people when they do comment, they're like, "Oh, I'd love a channel like yours, but I don't go on camera," and I'm like, listen, you can do it in steps. You can do commentary and then go on camera when you're ready. But I said there's been a lot of successful creators, and it's actually interesting you mentioned that. Obviously, you don't actually have to even see someone. So I think that's probably even more special, to be honest. If you
Yeah.
can just have your voice only and win someone as a viewer, like you say, I think Vash is pretty much, I think he's the only person I watch who does commentary only, really, because like you say, I do like to have that connection and see the person on screen, but it's not everything, and it's like, for example, very popular guy who does play for is the Rad Brad. Never seen him, however he commentates, you know.
Well, I mean, going back to Chris Smooth. Chris Smooth had a page for, I want to say, yes, say 6 years, 7 years. Well, you never saw his face. You knew his voice because it was his voice, and it was obviously a personality you knew. You felt like you knew the guy, and he put a random video up doing an advert for, I'm going to say Nike or someone, but it was for an XP game with Tony Parker, the basketball player, and it was like the first time we ever saw him, and the fact we saw it was a massive reveal, and that became a thing in itself. So it's all became part of the appeal. Champion the gamer, flip it. Why should someone be following you?
I feel that I definitely make my mark on the horror gaming scene in my own way. So I definitely feel I always have positive vibes and passion behind my content to offer. Definitely with our own spin on things, like we definitely have our own humor as well. I think that's quite a unique thing about our content as well, and it's generally completely unintentional as well. I will play through games with the utmost seriousness intentions, and I know it happens to everyone. I know obviously we have funny moments, but I so naturally, what I learned this about myself, especially from streaming, so naturally just pick things out and see the humor in things, you know. And I think it probably does maybe just ease the nerves and the tension, the horror a little, and people do laugh along as well. The community does love that, so we always do have a laugh with things, you know. And I'm genuinely always happy to be on stream with people, genuinely.
Have you? You've obviously got a passion for it. You obviously love it. And one thing I love is that you bring in your personality, which obviously we're kind of alluding to. But is creativity a thing you've always been good at?
I just think I just kind of have. I think it's been a way to express myself, really. It started just with kind of artwork and stuff. You know, I used to love drawing, you know, gaming and just anything kind of related, and think, oh, well, what if this character did this, or what about this situation? Then I feel like I've probably just been able to translate that onto screen, really, you know,
You bringing
with
up
my
little
content.
skits of you had a park life skip that skit, and I love it. I was like, if you could bring out a thing that's got like the streets in it and a bit of Kano and Blur, I was like, this is me. I'm like, you,
Have you seen my streets when I enter Kendo? Oh, I don't know what it was, but I absolutely love. I've got a massive, broad music taste, but I love the streets. And I was thinking, I was messing about with. I want to do more of them. Like, I thought it'd be really cool to kind of get on a green screen and like kind of filter and get myself into the Resi games. You know, for the short form videos, I think it'd be funny. And then I just thought about it. Just came, honestly, the ideas just come to me. Thought, imagine entering Kendo's if it was in the UK. Then it's like, whoa, leave it out, and it drops into the streets, and it suits it so well if it was a UK gun store.
I've annoyed my missus no end by doing all the verses in my. I love it. It's so good.
Oh, it's so good.
What is something that you've sort of either yet to do in your career in streaming that you want to accomplish, or what is a goal you've got?
I think a massive goal I've got, it would definitely be to it just literally be to be the best I can possibly be. And that would be like, I want thousands and thousands more of an audience. I really want, I know it's not always numbers, and obviously I care about the quality of people I bring with me, but I want what I've got, you know, and I want it on an amplified scale. I just do, because going back to YouTubers who inspired me back in the day, my main inspirations were Ali A and Syndicate Project, the Call of Duty Zombies YouTuber as well. And obviously they had like millions, and I was like, man, I just looked at them and I was like, man, I just want to be up there. I want thousands and thousands. Definitely a massive milestone for me. I've always wanted a YouTube plaque on my wall. So obviously the first milestone for that would be 100,000 subscribers. You know, I'm still a way away from that at 10K, but I do think it's never impossible. Like, I just think with more grinding with content over the years, I definitely think sky's the limit, you know?
What do you think has been a challenge you come across that you didn't really expect would be there? There might not have been any. You might have been, it's not in a weird way. It might have been plain sailing. But has there been a challenge you've come across? You're like, oh, I didn't expect that.
I think it's just literally the challenge of standing out, basically, because obviously, I've looked at those over the years, the likes of Ali A and Syndicate, etc. And I'm like, man, how did you manage it? You look at the big numbers, you do look at it, man. You're kind of like, how did you get there? How did you get that? So, yeah, it just is what it is. I think we're all on our own journeys, and everyone's different. So I'm on the path I'm meant to be right now, but definitely found growth a challenge throughout. Because I would have actually loved bigger numbers by now when I look back and reflect on things. However, I feel like I haven't reached my potential because I haven't been able to focus on streaming full time. I haven't had my full focus on it. I feel like I've made a great leap over the past year because I left my full-time job and I've gone into part-time work alongside part-time streaming and content creation because I've actually kind of got to a point where I can support myself, obviously if I work part-time alongside. So that's still a big leap, but I definitely feel like I haven't reached my potential yet because I haven't been able to give my full focus because during obviously almost 10 years, it sounds like a long time, but during this time, I've gone to like college, uni, to be able to kind of get medic degrees like behind me sort of thing to go into that job. It's just there's been so many distractions that I haven't wanted, even obviously work shifts, obviously the big missed opportunity of COVID. Couldn't stay in, couldn't stream, couldn't, reach people with content. And that was a huge opportunity missed. But it is what it is,
But you're obviously accomplishing a lot of stuff right now. And I think it's
Yeah.
important that you can say, actually, I'm achieving something here. I'm doing something and I'm on the right path. Because a lot of people think it's an overnight success online stuff, but it isn't. Like we said
Absolutely not.
earlier, it takes time, it takes effort, it takes persistence. And you've obviously clearly got that. And I'm excited to see where you go because you've got the drive for it and the passion for it. So who better to do it than you?
Yeah,
And I think
thanks, man.
one
Like you say, yeah.
I think one thing that makes the most sense to me nowadays is where there's that saturation and there's so much like content out there. There's people that are viral that I don't even know about. Because back in the day, it would never be a thing. Evolution of Dance came out, we knew what that was. Whereas nowadays, people can be viral with millions. I have no clue who they are. That's
True.
actually a positive. It's
True.
not just earlier about the strength of your community. You building your really lovely community,
Yeah.
hold you in good stead whether you're on 50, 100, or 1 million. Like it's going to be the same community you build. So the strength of that outweighs the numbers to a certain degree, and then the numbers come later. You see what I mean? So
Yeah,
you're
true.
definitely on the right track, I think, and I can't wait to see where you go.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate that. Yeah. Sorry, there's something off the back of what you said. Yeah, I think also, when I keep thinking, I think it's definitely healthy to kind of self-reflect. On your journey, you can reflect obviously on your content over the past month, the past year, think where do I want to take this? How can I improve, etc. And I think a lot of it, when I keep saying, man, I had this potential and this was a missed opportunity. And I think I do just regress a little bit because I think it's literally just my mindset, just always want the best for like myself and my channel. And sometimes it can kind of be your own worst enemy a little bit. I think I'm a bit. Sometimes I do have to settle myself, and I think, man, you're self-critical, and it's actually outweighing your not so much appreciation because I always appreciate everything, but definitely kind of acknowledge where we have come, So I am incredibly fortunate to be where I am, but definitely the ultimate goal for me would be full-time streaming and content creation, definitely.
I don't see why it can't happen, to be honest with you. I really don't. We call ourselves Champion the Gamer right here because we champion whichever type of gamer you are,
Yeah,
and
awesome.
you're the sort of person that would achieve your goals tenfold, I'd imagine, because of the hard work you put in. This has been tremendous. I've super loved it. And there's always one thing we finish with, which
Yeah.
is there anything you want to finish with?
It'd just be I just urge anyone, if you have a channel or even just whatever aspect in life, I think absolutely just go for it because the world's your oyster, and even if I'm sure obviously, if you've listened to this, you've heard of some of the hardships I've come across. Like in the journey, it's not been plain sailing, and it's definitely about having that persistence and perseverance and yeah, determination to push through that, and great things can happen for sure. So yeah, just always keep grinding.
Plug it. Where are you? Platforms, where are you?
So you'll find me everywhere. I am on all the major streaming platforms as Holster TV. That's over on YouTube, TikTok, and Kick. I am over on Twitch as Holster TV Streams. I had to add streams on the end because my username was actually already taken. So it's actually yeah, there's maybe an imposter out there. No, that is Holster TV Streams on Twitch. And yeah, I'm on all the socials. I have a dedicated gaming page, of course, Facebook, Instagram, and we do have our own Discord server as well. So if you do obviously fancy joining that, can pop into a stream, get in touch with us, and yeah, it's where we chill and chat off stream as well.
No, amazing. I say I can't recommend your page enough because there's enough like stuff there. There's satire there. There's great content, and I really can't wait to see where you go next because it's exciting times.
Awesome.
You've been number 77. I'll catch everybody on the next one.